Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast, round 14, 2021. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who wholeheartedly agrees with Caroline Wilson. It's Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. Yes, another round fucking done and or dusted. Carlton season could be over. Who knows? We'll get to that shortly. but once again, I am in wholehearted agreement with Caroline Wilson. I'm always in agreement with Caroline Wilson.
You're very
Wilson.
Strong on that, time, yeah. Yeah,
oh, absolutely, absolutely. And she came out this week and said that because Seb Ross and Tim Membry left the St Kilda football team, the hub that they were in or up in Cairns, and flew back to be with their families. And she said that the club and sponsors and members and teammates were disappointed that those two left to be with their families. And I agree wholeheartedly with Caroline Wilson. And I actually think we need to take it a step further. And I don't think that players, AFL or AFLW, should be allowed to have families full stop.
Strong point.
So basically, once you're drafted from wherever, and if you've got a high school sweetheart, the moment you get drafted, that's fucking it. It's over.
Yep.
Forget
Break
it.
Up.
You might be able to rekindle in 12 years. Maybe your career's cut tragically short. Then you can get back together. But until that point, you remain a single person who, and basically you don't talk to your family either, because you know sometimes it could be like, oh, he's left for a funeral. You go, I don't fucking want to hear about that. So you are basically living a big brother type lifestyle where you don't know anything about the outside world, and football is your only sustenance until such time as you retire.
I mean, how great would it be on draft day? I say, okay, watch the AFLM and we have the draft day. And then you kind of pick number one, pick number two, pick number three, and they shake the hand, they get the jumper, and then they get on the bed and they have a vasectomy in front of a live audience.
I'm paying to see that. I am paid. So, as well as doing that, you know how, because they're sitting with their mum and dad, so they give mum, dad a bit of a kiss, bit of a hug. That's the last time they fucking see him. For, if you're a good player, for 16 years, you say goodbye there and then. And you walk away, and then you focus on your footy, and you're not flying home, and you're not costing your team the valuable 4 points that St Kilda probably really needed in that game. It blew apart their finals chances.
Yeah, well, that was a nightmare game where they were about 5 goals up and then Adelaide came back. Adelaide, right? Yeah, and they dude kicked it over his head like
Filthorpe.
Just another way for fucking to break the heart of St Kilda fans. Like, horrible, horrible.
So, but Caro came out and said that the supporters and the sponsors and members and other teammates would have every right to be disappointed in those two blokes flying home.
Yeah, so the direct quote from Footy Classified from Monday night, if I remember correctly.
That is correct.
She said, I think supporters and sponsors and members and other teammates would have every right to be disappointed. Now, I love the idea. I mean, supporters, members, teammates, fair enough, whatever. But I love the idea that sponsors are ropeable, okay?
Oh, fuck
now, yeah. Well, I did a little bit of deep diving, a little bit of research about the St Kilda sponsors. Now, their principal partners, Deliveroo.
Oh, okay. No. And you don't want to get Deliveroo offside.
And Pepper Money. Now, I have no idea what Pepper Money is, but it sounds cute. But Deliveroo, do you really think there are like Deliveroo drivers out there going like, fucking hell, fucking again, one more time, St Kilda has disappointed us. Is the head of Deliveroo going, just ignore the way that we pay our employees, you know, keep that on the hush, but can we burn the jumper?
Do you reckon on that Saturday night, as that game was happening and Adelaide started coming back, anyone who got a Deliveroo order that night, they go, fucking hell, I'm missing a couple of things. It's just because the delivery drivers are just fucking spat it. Like, as they're riding, they're going, fucking Tim Membry, goddamn you, fucking Seb Ross, and then just spitting in people's food.
Yeah, I reckon they're spitting a lot. They're just throwing the food at you, just going like, there's your fucking tacos, cunt. I think that's officially a sentence I've never said before.
Yeah.
So Deliveroo and Pepper Money. Pepper Money, I'm sure they're entirely above board. And then the major partners. So we got Dare, you know, the fucking tradie's favourite. Fucking get a nice coffee, Dare, in the morning and a sausage roll before you do the hard yakka. And then there's...
And you just think if you are a St Kilda supporter and you're sitting there at Smoko on the Monday, you're just looking at that Dare going, oh, I don't want to drink this anymore. Oh, I'm going to go get a Farmers Union. I'm not drinking this shit.
It tastes bitter.
Yeah, it does. It tastes even worse than it normally does. even though it's got like 700 grams of sugar in it, it somehow is bitter in my mouth.
And then they got like a Hy-Vis kind of company. That they're one of the major partners as well. And then we scroll down. So they've got a whole button. But Reflex Paper is one of their partners as well. Okay, so can you imagine the CEO watching that game in Cairns against Adelaide and St Kilda? Phil Thorpe kicks it over his head to get the win. And the head of Reflex Paper, who already deals with a world where, you know how fucking photocopiers, like, do not fucking work? Like, he's got a lot on his fucking mind. But the head of Reflex Paper is on the phone to Brett Ratten going, what the fuck is going on? This is unacceptable.
Absolutely. You know what they're sending to St Kilda this week? They got a big delivery of foolscap. And people are going, fuck, this seems a little bit longer. It doesn't fit in any of the photocopiers or printers or anything. This is really weird paper. And Reflex are going, yeah, well, that'll fucking teach you to let Tim Membry and Seb Ross fly home before a game.
Yeah, sure. They just rock up to the Monday morning and just like a lot of A2 paper on the front door at St Kilda.
Or just paper that's slightly crumpled that you know is going to jam up everything.
But it's actually quite a colourful characters of sponsors. So they've got like AV Jennings. They're homes, right? They do home stuff, right?
Yeah. Don't they build those kind of like on like an estate? There'll be all AV Jennings homes. Like, because remember, wasn't Lethal involved in?
That's right. He was
Dolphins.
He did
was
a
it
few
Dolphin
ads.
Homes.
Did a few ads for them? I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Furphy Beer. New Balance. Does that feel like fitness stuff, do you reckon?
Yeah, it is. It's shoes and outerwear.
So anyway, the sponsors, as Caro says, should be outraged. And I imagine there was many calls to the, is it Matt Finnis, I think, who's the CEO of St Kilda?
Yeah,
many
Lethers calls, would have fielded a few.
Many callers on the Monday morning from Deliveroo kind of going, hey mate, this is unacceptable because we are entitled to be disappointed.
Well, see, that I actually drove down Brunswick Street, and there's a lot of restaurants down there that people use for takeaway, for delivering. And I didn't know at the time what it was, but it clearly was a bunch of blokes standing around their scooters and mopeds, and they were standing around a fire. And now I do realise that they were burning Tim Membry and jumpers. They were burning secure jumpers. They were so angry.
Yeah, wow.
So it's cut deep. It's cut very deep.
You look at the other, they've got official partners. Oh, I think these are official partners for everyone, like every club. So 5G networks, obviously, that's a COVID thing. AGL, Coca-Cola, McDonald's. I think they're kind of...
AFL across the board ones, yeah.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, because didn't West Coast arc up a little bit because they've got a huge sponsorship with Hungry Jack's.
Hungry Jack's.
They are fucking direct rivals with McDonald's. Like, and they're saying, hey, we want our shitty food that makes people obese and gives them type 2 diabetes over the your shitty food that gives people, makes people obese and gives them type 2 diabetes.
Question without notice, when was the last time you ate Hungry Jack's?
I don't reckon I've done it in at least 15 years.
Yeah, it's not a common go-to. Even though they are around, you kind of go, nah, you'd take Macca's over Hungry Jack's, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like I can still remember back in the day. So in the 90s, I would have had a lot of Hungry Jack's. I was a big fan of the Whopper Jr. And I loved how many days it would repeat on you.
And you were back in the day. You were a little heavier too. Like that's a lot of fun to watch when old Spicks and Specks comes up and you go, "Oh, I remember that Rosie."
Yeah, there's anaphylactic Rosie. He's all puffy in the face.
Rosie had a couple peanuts before he went on the set.
But I can't remember the last time I had Hungry Jack's. You?
I've actually had a bit by the fact that hash browns are gluten free, so I've had them a couple times in the morning, like. for the last few weeks. Yeah, just kind of soak up the MDMA from the night before.
You're good like that.
Mate, baggers, mate, come on.
It's all happening.
Mate, baggers, talk about it. Okay, we're recording at 2:23 right now, Sydney, Melbourne
Sunday
time.
Afternoon, yep.
Behold the Hawthorn game, where we're going to play the Bombers down in Tasmania. Fucking arch rivals. Going to get it. As Hawthorn makes their run for the finals, we're on the run.
Line in the sand game.
We're going to pull a Richmond from like 2014 or whatever it was. We're going to, you know, when Richmond were like shit, and then they won like 9 in a row to get into the finals.
Yeah.
So that's what Hawthorn's going to do. But report back to me in about 2.5 hours, and we'll find out what happened.
So Carlton, copped a lot of heat this week. We said that we were going to do an all-encompassing review. We asked Jason Dunstall if he would be a part of it. He said, nah, not going to do it. We went, okay, no worries, we'll find someone else. So we got Pavlich and Jeff Walsh and some other dude whose name escapes me. Jeff Howgate, maybe? I don't know, whatever. And so you look at that and you go, mate, Carlton's under the pump. They are, you know, David Teague is coaching for his career at the moment. The players are embarrassed. They're going to come out and they are going to fucking show GWS how it's done. And boy, did we show them how it's done. And by being done, I mean we showed them how to be shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
we give up 3 goals straight away. That's what Carlton do. And you know what I love is the consistency that Carlton has. So you give up the first 3 goals, bang, great, fantastic. Then in the second quarter, we have about 70% of the ball in our forward half. And what do we do with it? Fucking nothing. And what do? We let them kick a couple of cheap goals at the end of the half to give them like a 4 or 5 goal lead. And then what do? We kick 4 in a row in the third quarter to get within 2 goals. And then what do? We let them fucking get away at the end of the game and they win by 6 goals and we lay about maybe 3 tackles for the whole fucking game.
So you're happy.
And David T came out and said he picked what he thought was a tough team. Mate.
Another question without notice. Do you genuinely think David T's job's on the line by the fact that he's only been there like, what, year and a half?
Yeah, it's a weird one just because nothing's changed. Nothing changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, it just doesn't seem like they're playing for him. But that's just not to say that they're going to do it for anyone else. Our defensive structures are awful. But there's just some things. Like when the other team gets the ball, you can almost guarantee that it's going to turn into a goal. And it's just, I don't know how you fucking change that. And clearly Teague's not going, hey, when you turn the ball over and which
make sure they get a goal.
yeah, exactly. He's not, hopefully he's not, because you know what, if he is coaching that, he's a fucking genius because we are the best in the comp at it. And you just go like a shitty turnover, which all teams have, for us, turns into a goal going the other way. And you look at Melbourne, who now have one of the best team defences going around, and they brought in people around Simon Goodwin. And so maybe you do need other people around David Teague. It was very strange we didn't got appointed that we had the same shit assistant coaches that were under Bolton who were still there.
Yep,
and why they didn't clear the decks then. Because you go, well, clearly the whole coaching group was shit, not just Bolton.
And it could also show like by the fact that it can change very quickly. So obviously Melbourne 2018 made the prelim, you know, nightmare in WA, but then dud for 2019-20. But now, I mean, fuck, man. If they won the flag, it'd be actually pretty sick. And actually, it would be awesome for comedy too, I must say.
Yeah. No, it would be great. I mean, fucking Malvern would burn to the ground. It would just be fucking amazing. They would be, you know, planter boxes strewn all over Malvern Road. It would be unbelievable.
Yeah, sure, sure. Like, to go to the celebrations for Melbourne, which I imagine will be held at Melbourne Grammar. the oval there.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
Or just for all the Melbourne supporters, the male ones, to be able to, you know, really get around at the Melbourne club and just come out and, you know, kiss their wives and say, that was fantastic, and then duck back inside and say, sorry, you can't come in, love.
So anyway, your mate Clarko was in the news this week.
Well, he's got himself into a little bit of trouble. So Mitch Lewis of Hawthorn forward, and is it, what's your Kaczynski's first name?
That's actually a very good question. Sam? Is that right? I really should know that.
Sam.
Yeah, I really should know that.
So anyway, the Hawthorne Kaczynski, they were in the they were having a bit of a spa, boxing, you know, a lot of fitness, you know, down at footy clubs doing boxing. They're having a bit of a spa, which I would have thought wasn't the done thing. Anyway, didn't have headgear on, and Mitch Lewis got concussed after Kaczynski fucking nailed him, apparently, with an uppercut.
Sweet spot.
And so he's had to, you know, he had to miss a game. Last week, he won't be playing this week. And it's sort of come out that Clarko has told them to go a little bit harder and said that you need to step it up and to fucking try and tag the head and tag the body.
I think the idea was like they weren't going hard enough, and Clarko stepped in and said, as is his wont, being a 5'8" man, kind of go for it. And the initial kind of story was that they said that Mitch kind of ducked and kind of led his head into the punch. But I think now it's finding out that the because the AFL are doing an investigation about this, by the fact that,
well, because it's a concussion that's just at you know, at the club that came from not being out on the field in training. Yes. And they're going, well, this shouldn't fucking happen.
Yeah, yeah. So they say he kind of ducked when he should have waved, and he walked into the punch. But then also Ross Lyon on Footy Classified, was it Wednesday?
Ooh,
fuck it, we talk about Footy Classified a lot. Like,
they bring us a lot of joy, mate.
It's funny, man, because actually a show I actually don't watch in full time. Like, I watch the highlights on Twitter, you know? But Ross Lyon said if it was a younger coach, like a newer coach, maybe a David Teague type coach, he said everyone would have cracked it, but because it's Clarko, he gets a free ride. And I do feel actually sometimes that Clarko gets a bit of a free ride by the fact they kind of go, oh, he's the best in the game. But then I also think, I mean, it's been 6 years of like, okay, I'm trying to say like, not like won a premiership, but like 6 years of like, 2016, I reckon we could have won the flag. 2018, no chance. But like, so a good 5 years of like a bit of nothing, I reckon. We made the top four in 18, but like we were like not gonna be
on the way out
to people. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But 2016, I think we could have won the flag. But if Isaac Smith kicked that goal, but we could have.
That goal
puts us in the prelim, and then we fucking just roll in and just fucking towel up Sydney in the grand final. Beautiful times.
But you didn't.
But great times if we did do that in 2016. We would have four in a row just like... Bah, 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 bah.
So, Jacob Kaczynski did what I would love to do to you right now, and he's concussed... He's cut Mitch Lewis. So they asked Clarko about it. So, yeah, you're right. He does get it gets kind of an easy ride because, you know, he's a senior coach now and pretty much everything he does is great. And so there's vision of it, and the AFL are checking it out. And, you know, Clarko said it was a genuine accident. And he said, we have used the words tag and touch to the head. Even in the description last week of the preparation for the drill, there was certainly no haymakers or anything being thrown. Yeah, no, the guy just got concussed from a little touch, mate.
Yeah.
Not even a jab, just, you know, they went to touch gloves to say good luck, and he missed him and it hit him in the head and he got concussed. It happens all the time. You'd be fucking surprised. And he said, we wanted our players to protect themselves, but tagging the head and tagging the body were the directions they were given.
Now, I'm surprised.
So I want you to protect yourself, but also you won't. I want you to fucking smash him, but protect yourself.
I'm actually surprised like they actually weren't wearing headgear. Like, I would have thought that would be like the first thing you do when you get into the ring, like you do. And I understand, like, boxing, like, is a great physical fitness thing. Like, you've done boxing as training before, like, you know, in terms of fitness.
Yeah, totally.
But, like, I'm actually surprised they actually weren't wearing headgear to
It's incredible. Whenever I've done sparring, you put headgear on. It's just the first thing, apart from the mouth guard, you throw it in there. He said this was a low punch that was a body punch, and it unfortunately resulted in Mitch being concussed. So he's gone for the body, and Mitch Lewis, who's what, 6'6",
has
just kind of really ducked his head down to where his body would be. Like 2.5 foot, he's lowered himself.
Now, have you done actual sparring in the ring?
I have.
In the squared circle. So is idea don't punch the head?
Yeah, you kind of, because I'm at such a low end, you're just told, like I was told, go at like 20%. You're just throwing them out there just to kind of get them out. You make no power shots at all.
Yep, sure. Gotcha. Yeah.
At no point did the instructor who was watching over me and my friend say, tag the head and tag the body. He never used those words because that would imply that you want to knock the motherfucker out.
Yeah, sure. You never heard the words, put him in a body bag, Johnny.
And how's this? So you say Clarko, you know, no one questioned him and stuff, but they kept at him. And they said, ask for clarification on his head tagging instructions. Clarkson said, I've done about 40 questions on it, so you write whatever you want on it.
Yeah.
So he's fucking dirtied up.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. So the AFL, because I imagine those 40 questions were from the AFL by the fact that they came in to do an investigation about what actually happened. Yeah. Yeah.
And I love this too. The Hawthorn players weren't wearing headgear for the session, but Clarkson said expert opinion differed on its value in boxing or a football match. This argument has been going on and debated for a long, long period of time. Has it? Has there been a debate about wearing headgear? Like even like, you know, Tyson and stuff and, you know, proper boxers use headgear when they're sparring because they're just like, well, I don't need to get fucking knocked out for no reason. But Clarko goes, oh, no, mate, that debate's been happening for forever.
It's like smoking. Like, the science is still out, you know?
Yeah. Clarko lives in a house with asbestos. He doesn't believe that it's actually that bad for you.
Hey,
Oh, and here is, I love this, though. He says, there are some who would argue that wearing headgear actually increases the surface area of the target.
That's awesome.
In essence, which is the head. So therefore, you're making yourself a bigger target by wearing it. That's why if I was in the army, I wouldn't wear Kevlar because it makes you bigger.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And it just makes ISIS, gives you ISIS a bigger target. You're a fucking fool. Like, just go out there. Shirts and skins, mate. Go out there fucking no top on.
That's actually
Clarko's under something.
That's actually a great addition to war. Shirts and shirts and skins.
Look at
you,
shirts
you wear skin. Shirts. We don't wear them.
Yeah, I think it works. At least then you know who the enemy combatants are.
Collingwood. Okay, Bucks. Final game Monday. Seemed to be work out quite well. Like quite nice, you know. Unfortunately in Sydney, like, you know, not like under the home crowd, like obviously like without COVID, like that would have been like a sellout at the MCG, Queen's birthday.
Totally.
You know, people supporting Bucks, Melbourne obviously flying. Bucks was gifted a bit of turf from the SCG, which is I think a gift that he will put in the garage, I think, for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when Hurdy left Essendon and they gave him a little gift box full of shredded documents. And he was like,
thank
oh,
you
thanks,
time.
Guys. Yeah, yeah. And when Bomber Thompson left Essendon, they gave him the keys to the Comancheros compound as well.
Yeah, sure. So and they gave him nice. Like 0.5 of a Bitcoin.
And 460 ecstasy pills, which were for personal use only.
Dude. Tough times. Hey, Jeff Brown, okay, Collingwood, okay. So the dude who was running the kind of, who wanted the EGM? Yeah, okay.
Extraordinary general meeting.
Yeah, sure, which is a fucking made-up term I've never heard before. So he's now pulled out of that by the fact he goes, I don't want to burn Collingwood down, okay?
But you already started the fire, mate. Like, you know, he's fucking lit everything. He's poured petrol on it. Going, mate, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, it's like Bane, like the fire rises. But he, if it's Batman thing, you don't watch that shit.
No, I'm an adult.
And I don't want to make fun of the dude by the fact that like I think Collingwood's doing a pretty good job of burning itself down right now.
Yeah.
I think we're okay. Yeah, we don't need any extra fuel. Like Collingwood's doing it from the inside. Okay, so Jeff Brown now has said that he will challenge and he wanted like maybe 4 board members. And now he's like, they've gone, fuck you. And he's gone like, okay, I've got to have 7, I think it is.
And I'm going to go for it all. I'm going to have a good sweep. Do you reckon, it's an interesting one. Do you think Mark Corder is a dead man walking? Like, it just seems that everything just pointing to Jeff Brown taking over.
I am a bit up in the air on that, actually. Question with that notice, you pointed that out. I actually feel like it might be in Mark, in Corder's favour at the minute by the fact that they're doing okay. And I feel like Jeff is coming in with no agenda, even though he has, we'll talk through this, but he has 7 points. But I feel like, you know what? Actually, here we go. I feel like.
Theory without notice.
I feel like it was 2016 US election, presidential election. I feel like Hillary came in kind of like, I just deserve to be president. And yep. So I feel like Jeff is coming in now and being like, I just deserve to be president. And it's like, yeah, but have you proved anything worthy of being president? And that's a really interesting thing I just said out loud.
But the thing is, the thing in his favour that can kind of garner support from the members is to go, well, look at the fuck-ups that happened on Mark Corder's watch. Now, he wasn't president when this all went down.
Yeah, and
he was,
fuck, man. I mean, he was vice president. But you look at that fucking board. Like, they had no fucking say. Like, you have to say, they had no fucking say. Like,
yeah,
there
that's
was,
true.
There was one
that's
guy true. Who fucking ran the show.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, hey, we don't reckon we should do that. It's like, he's like, yeah, good. Yeah. Sweet. I'm going to go and film
hey,
a
Eddie,
couple
maybe
episodes.
Maybe don't say... Maybe don't say proud and historic day. I think people will need me to say that,
yeah.
And I think it's going to go really well.
Yeah, it was a one man show. Like,
yeah, you're right.
Like that board, like generally, I'm going to suggest had no fucking say on anything. It was like a one man show. So anyway,
and because he and Eddie, so Jeff Brown and Eddie are very good friends. Will it be the one man show being run from behind, Wizard of Oz style?
That's a good question, because as we know, Eddie has said on Footy Classified that he is still working on sponsorship at Collingwood and the AFL.
Mate, because you forgot to clarify, because he loves footy. you make it sound like he's, you know, got some hidden agenda, but he just loves footy.
Okay, so we'll run through a few of the points. So Jeff Brown put out a statement this week, said blah, 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 blah. Number one, kind of reasons why he wants to be president. Apart from the fact, like, isn't it my turn? A botched miscalculation of the salary cap, overseen by the current president as chairman of the finance committee. So Corder was head of money, I suppose, and they fucked up the salary cap.
But again, do you reckon that's on him? Like, isn't that the the list management going?
Yeah.
I will back end every fucking contract we've got.
Yeah, fuck, mate.
Like, surely someone went, well, isn't that going to come home to roost? And they go, no, it'd be fine.
Yeah, dude, it's like fucking any contract over 4 years, you're a fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot.
I hear you, mate.
Like, they're giving Brody like 7. It's like, okay, good luck. You know, like we were talking about earlier, like Buddy has worked out, Dusty's worked out. But there aren't many.
No, Alistair Lynch, I think, had 10 years at Brisbane.
I feel like...
it's a good contract.
I feel like the Chief got offered 10 years from Brisbane, like back in the late 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it was like 200 grand
huge.
For like, you know, 10 years. And I think it was like even like when you stop playing, you can be the front office guy. And he was like, no. No, I wanna sit on a couch and say, turn it up,
flog
you reptile.
Anyway, back to Collingwood.
So the botched attempt of a so-called director with no passion for or engagement with
the botched appointment.
Of a so-called director with no passion for or engagement with Collingwood. So that was the appointment of the board member Bridie O'Donnell. Is that right?
O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Yep.
The inherent instability that surrounds replacing the coach mid-season. Actually, it's like, dude, like, that fucking saved you. Like, you don't have to make that call now, so you should be happy about
that. Yeah, exactly. And but also, I read somewhere that Jeff Brown said, I'm happy to come in even after this particular board has chosen the current coach. So he's happy to go. So if they get, like, a really bad choice, and he goes, yeah, I'm happy to be. Don't you want to be the board member that chooses the coach?
Nightmare. But then he talks about there's unprecedented low attendances at Collingwood home games at the MCG, forgetting a little thing called COVID-19.
Yeah. I mean, last year, they didn't even get people into the games at the MCG.
I mean, he should be happy.
Disgusting.
He should be happy. Like, attendances at the MCG last year were nothing. And now, at least it's like, you know, 30, 40 grand. You know, like, it'd be like, Jeff, come on, look at the positive. He's bringing a negative situation to the Collingwood board.
Yeah, exactly. But also, too, they're in a downwards, like, part of their cycle, okay? So they're going to be shit for a year or two, and that happens to every team.
Yeah.
So you go, well, of course it's going to be low crowd numbers because you were playing... He's talking about they were playing Gold Coast at the MCG on a Saturday afternoon, and he talks about being relegated to graveyard television broadcasting slots. It's like, yeah, it's because you're shit. Like, once the team becomes good again in 2 years or 3 years or whatever, everything will be fine. That's not on... The board. Like,
yeah.
It's not like he's going to come in and they go, oh, fuck, Jeff Brown's president. Put Collingwood on Friday night. You know, so we've got some great cutaways. Who fucking cares?
And fuck, man. Like, I mean, we can all safely say Collingwood has had it pretty good in terms of television.
They've done all right.
Television
yeah.
coverage, yeah. like, in terms of, like, you know, like, how many times do you want to see them on Friday night or whatever? And he says the devaluation of the Collingwood brand that has seen the broadcast of non... Yeah, anyway. Yeah, well, that's what you said, the graveyard. Yeah, yeah. Okay, anyway, yeah. I just doubled up on that. But anyway, I'm actually... I'm actually team Corder, actually. Just by the fact, I feel like I said before, I feel like Jeff is coming in and being like, it's my turn, but without actually having a vision.
So yeah, he's just listed a bunch of things that they did wrong, but he hasn't said, this is what we're going to do to get it right.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm actually team Corder. And also, I love the fact that Collingwood are, you know, freaking out right now.
No, it's pretty good fun. But I tell you what, we don't need them on a Friday night when we have games like the Western Bulldogs v Geelong down at Cadinia Park. What was it? Grievous Bodily Harm Stadium.
Yep.
What a fucking cracking game of football we had on Friday night. Michael, question without notice, is that a grand final preview?
That's actually a really good question, and it's Geelong. And I'm like, I don't want them to be in the grand final again, but that's a personal opinion. But that would actually be sick. I mean, a Doggies, I think, the people I want to win it this year, I think I'd be happy with Doggies, Melbourne, Brisbane, Port. I think they're my four right now.
Okay.
But I was working Friday night, and so I saw with the about 2 minutes left in the game, saw the scores, and I was like, sick, put it on Foxtel Go on my phone, doing very well. And the thing I admired, I don't know if you noticed this, but the thing I admired about Gary Rowan, he took that mark, and then he was like, fuck it, I'm a boss. I'm not going to try and pass. Like, I'm not going to try and get it to, like, you know, 25 metres in front of the goals.
I'm the man. Yeah.
He was like, fuck it. I marked it. I'm going to take this shot. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude. I actually admired the balls on the dude, you know, to kind of like just go, marked it. I'm going to walk back. Siren goes. What happens?
Yeah. I hated his guts, mostly because I had $50 on the Swan, on the Doggies to win by 1-39.
And really?
So
truly?
That really fucking, yes.
Dude.
That really fucking,
you got
your punts
on. 50. That's
really,
a lot. That's a lot.
Oh, mate. I was confident. I was very confident. And it was right up until the final siren. I was fucking, Rosie's doing really well.
Wow. $50. I don't think I'd ever punt 50 on anything, ever.
Oh, mate, you got to go hard or go home, they say, as, you know, I eat fucking toast for dinner.
Yeah, sure. Do you need help?
If you can help us out in our Patreon junk times, that'd be really handy.
Stubby holders on sale.
I probably shouldn't have put the bet on with the Banditos, but, you know.
Yeah, sure.
They're pretty good. Like, the couple of dudes came around last night. They've been around this morning. They're probably coming around again tonight. So once I scrounge together, which has now become... Because I borrowed the money from them, it's I owe them $15,000 as of today, which will become $150,000 tomorrow morning. So their interest rates are I think they're competitive.
But I really did admire that the way he took the mark and just be like, no, I'm going to do it, I'm going to shoot it. And Chris Scott said
he went fucking ballistic, didn't he?
Yeah. But he was like, you know, there was only one person I want that ball in their hand right now at that moment.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, giving up the 3 first-round draft picks for Jeremy Cameron seems to be a really fucking good idea.
Well, let me think. I think who I'm... Oh, no, draft picks. I'm thinking about Richmond. Because I'm thinking Richmond have, like, for this draft, I think they feel... I feel like they have, like, 11, like, 19 and 24. Like, so Richmond can be back in the game fucking in a second.
Are you looking at indicative draft orders already?
Well, you know, I mean, as a... As a high-profile media commentator on football, it's my job to keep across things.
No, that's very true. That's very true.
Hey, we hit the radio. No footballers in real life. No way. COVID, like, man. COVID.
Yeah, laying low. Maybe if Jeff Brown was president of Collingwood, we'd have more footballers in real life, wouldn't we?
We're going to hit the road. We're JunkTimeAFOPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go Hooks. Going to watch them in about half an hour. Sick. Line in the sand. Come on, Hawks. Tassie. Essendon, Hawks, they're the rivals. We're going to get them. We're going to get them, Adam. We're going to get them. Run to the finals. It's the run to the finals.
Fuck up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.